1900 K1, brought to you this morning by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, also by Tallgrass Motors and First Baptist Church. And we are talking World War II when we continue with the Community Connection in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
And spending a little time this morning with historian and, interviewer of veterans, Joe Todd. And, Joe, it was December 16th, just a couple of days ago on our calendar, but December 16th, 1944, the beginning of the Battle of the Bulge, the largest and bloodiest battle fought by the U.S. in World War II.
Yes.
That's, and certainly, you know, as I think about it, a wintertime battle, and certainly among the most adverse winter conditions that I could think of.
It was the coldest winter in recorded history that they've had up to that time.
Yeah. And here, all kinds of problems, I think, on both sides, but particularly yes. Supply problems on the U.S. We had a lot of supply problems. We've talked supply problems before.
Yes.
this is, I went through some of the numbers on this just to get some scope of it. Somewhere around 89,000 American casualties, 19,000 killed, 47,000 wounded. On the German side, we have a range of 67,000 to 125,000 casualties on this one. We don't know for sure how many injured or wounded
yes.
on their side.
And most of the casualties were from frostbite.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. I mean, cold, supply lines, not a lot of ways to keep warm, and at least the accounts that I have seen, heavy snow.
Yes. I've interviewed guys that said they got in the foxhole and you had to move around or you froze to death.
Yeah.
And they said they found many soldiers in the foxholes frozen to death.
Wow. How did give me a little bit of background on this? How did the American Army find itself in the situation that they were in, basically surrounded at least on three sides?
Yes. Well, the Germans moved the 13 infantry divisions and 7 armored divisions into the border with Belgium and Germany without being noticed. Their objective was Antwerp.
Mm-hmm.
Because Antwerp was the major port. There were tons of supplies and hundreds of thousands of gasolines of gallons of fuel,
right?
And the Germans wanted this because they could keep the war going.
Yeah,
if they got there.
Germany particularly had fuel problems.
Yes.
We had our share too.
Yes.
Patton seemingly never had enough fuel.
Yes. And it they started before daybreak on the morning of December 16th. We had no notice, but before that, Penn Woods lived in Edmond.
Okay.
99th Division, a brand new division sent to Belgium. Had never been in combat, and he was on patrol about a week before the bulge, and it was so cold their weapons wouldn't work, and they were captured. And the Germans took the uniforms off and gave them to English-speaking Germans.
I had seen accounts, and certainly the film Battle of the Bulge indicates that the Germans were using English-speaking Germans and trying to get misinformation, which they had done before, changed road signs and everything else.
Yes. Well, could they get behind enemy lines because everything was relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Germany was in retreat. It was Christmas. No problem. We're winning the war. So the Germans are able to get through our checkpoints behind the lines and just wreaked havoc with everything.
And historically, Christmas time has been a time in World War II where, yes, there were some hostilities, but both sides unofficially observed Christmas.
Yes. And then Hubert Cawthorn, who lived in Mulhall, also 99th Division, was captured by English-speaking Germans in American uniforms.
Wow. So it not only fact, you actually talked to him.
Yes.
Did he go into how that happened? I mean, of course, if you walk up to people in American uniforms, 99.999% chance you could trust them.
Yes. Well, he said they walked up to him, and the man spoke perfect English in American uniform. They were discussing. Next thing they knew, they were surrounded and taken prisoner.
Wow. Only in the movies, we thought.
Yes, yes.
This is, again, probably the best one-word quote from any military message, as far as just the message being sent back to the Germans. Nuts.
Yes, yes.
What else? Who else did you talk to?
Well, James Green lived in Oklahoma City, and he was a member of the 106th Division.
Okay.
Now, the 106th Division is the only American division wiped out in combat.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a brand-new division, never in combat, put on the Belgian-German border when the Germans broke through, and that's where they hit.
And I'm sure if Eisenhower made the decision, then he probably was a subordinate. It was a good place to put him because at the time it was but well behind
yes,
the lines.
Yes, yes. Of course, he was captured and spent the rest of the time as a prisoner of war, and he said, we had not been in combat. We didn't know what to do.
But yeah. It's I mean, that's not something typically the Army does. They add men to an existing organization.
Yes, yes. Now, Alfred Jones lives in Collinsville.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just going up to the front lines. And he was with his unit and saw all these trucks going the other way. And no one told him, you know, what was going on.
Yeah.
And he said, well, what's the deal? He said, my God, the Germans are coming. And looked up and here's a whole line of Tiger tanks,
oh,
German
wow.
tanks. And he said, they got on trucks and got the hell out of there.
Yeah. Post haste.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the stories of these guys tell you. I mean, I know this is something that now they are, you know, World War II veterans, but there are so few of them left.
Yes.
They are actually opening up and telling the stories.
Yes. Mr. Greider, who lives in Tulsa, and he was 632nd engineer driving a bulldozer.
Mm-hmm.
And his job was in the retreat. If a truck, tank, or vehicle broke down, to bulldoze it out of the way so they could get the troops out of the way. And the Germans pushed the line back 30 to 35 miles and put a big bulge in our line. That's why it's called the Battle of the Bulge.
Right.
The Germans call it the Ardennes Offensive.
And from their standpoint, they're right.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, pushing that equipment off the road, that equipment was expendable compared to the lives that
yes.
they were trying to get out of
yes.
the way.
Yes, yes.
So these guys tell their stories, and you have to have had some tremendous interviews, and I don't want to stand in the way because I see you've got names and information on a lot of
Well, Harry
guys.
Brown, who lives in Green Country, he's now 100 years old.
Congratulations.
And he was a pilot, and he was at St. Vith, Belgium, but the weather was so bad he couldn't fly.
No.
And when the Germans attacked St. Vith, everyone became infantry. He
mm-hmm.
said, I became infantry. They even got the cooks out there with rifles. And it said St. Vith was a beautiful town, and when the battle was over, it was completely leveled.
Yeah, for all practical purposes, it wasn't there anymore.
Yes, and they said they couldn't trust anyone, so instead of the password, they started asking questions about baseball. And the question he asked was, who was the pitcher for the New York Yankees 1941?
I couldn't say I didn't. Who?
And said the answer was Mario Russo. If they didn't know it, they were held at gunpoint until someone identified them. And they said they did capture some Germans in American uniforms
sure.
that way.
Sure. Yeah, they would have.
In fact, one guy took General Omar Bradley at gunpoint.
Two-star or three-star, depending on the time.
He was four-star.
It was a four-star, no, okay.
No, he was a three-star
yeah,
at the
yeah.
time. Because he asked him the capital of Illinois, and he said Springfield, but the soldier thought it was Chicago.
Well,
and he
many
had,
people still do,
and
including
he had
people in Illinois.
General Bradley at gunpoint for 2 hours until someone came and said, my God, that's General Bradley. And General Bradley told the soldier, son, you did a good job. You did good. Keep on going.
Oh, 102 counties in Illinois, and no, it's not Springfield. I mean, it's
yeah.
not Chicago. It is Springfield. So that's interesting. General Bradley got caught. Wow.
Yes. And well, Romeo Mata, who lives here in Bartlesville,
mm-hmm.
and he was in tanks. He still lives here. He's 96, I think. He was in a Sherman tank, and he said they came up to those Tiger tanks, and no way they could fight the Tigers.
Yeah.
But the Sherman was smaller and more maneuverable.
Mm-hmm.
So they maneuvered around the Shermans and the Tigers, and all they could do was just blow a track off that Tiger tank. But the problem was, if the Tiger ever got you in your sights, it's over.
The gun was much better, and I think it was a faster tank, but like you said, it couldn't turn quickly.
The Tiger was faster, but it was bigger than the Sherman. The Sherman was more maneuverable.
Yeah.
And the Tiger had an 88-millimeter gun, and the Tigers only had a 75-millimeter gun. It would just bounce off those Tigers.
Yeah. So a bit better armor and faster.
Yes.
But we made good use of the Shermans. I mean, all of the victories that particularly Patton had with the Shermans.
Yes. But there were some soldiers, they would go out and lay down with a satchel charge when the tanks were approaching.
Mm-hmm.
And when the tanks got near them, they would go up and put the satchel charge on a track and blow a track off that Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, would I be able to do that? Go out there with a satchel charge with a Tiger approaching?
The things that the soldiers did in the 40s, I'm not sure many people in today's military would be willing to do it. I don't know.
Yes. And then we had the problem of friendly fire.
Mm-hmm.
Alfred Highfield, who lives here in Bartlesville, was in Holland, and he was sent to the rear for R&R when the Bulge broke out. When they got back to Belgium, they're fighting the Germans, and he said, then the weather cleared, and our bombers came over, and they thought we were German soldiers and bombed us.
Oh.
And he said it was difficult to tell who was who.
With units in close proximity like that, it would have been difficult. We didn't do more of it.
Yes, and he said a lot of his friends were killed by our own bombers.
Mm-hmm. Now, didn't we have problems with some of our own explosive charges going off just due to the cold weather, too?
Yes, yeah. Yes. A lot of them didn't work.
Yeah.
Because it was so cold. It was 30, 40 below zero.
Mm-hmm.
And the one reason we were able to stop the Germans was Roderick Red Elk.
Oh, okay.
Was a full-blood Comanche from Walters, Oklahoma. Was a Comanche code talker.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only code the Germans could not break was the Native American languages.
Wow.
And he said Haddon Cottingall was there, too, and they talked on the radio with each other of what to do, and the Germans could not break that code.
That's... You know, thank God for that.
Yes.
We're talking with Joe Todd and reminiscing and talking about some of the interviews that he had with veterans who were involved in the Battle of the Bulge, December 16th, 1944 through 25th of January, 45, and we will continue in just a moment.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
According to sources, the Germans' initial attack involved 406,000 men, 1,914 tanks, tank destroyers and assault guns, 4,224 artillery pieces, and bringing a total offense by the time they got reinforced to around 450,000 troops. That's a lot of Germans coming down your throat.
Yes. Yes, it is. We were outnumbered there.
But these guys persevered and were able to wait it out for help.
Yes. Well, Art Levine lives in Oklahoma City. He was 101st Airborne.
Okay.
He jumped at D-Day.
Wow.
June 5th. Went through that, survived that. And he said, we had the Germans on the run across France, across Belgium. And he said, the war was over. You know, just a matter of months and the war was over.
Yeah, they just hadn't given up yet.
Yes. And then when the Battle of the Bulge broke out, he said he was in Aachen, Germany. We were in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Bulge broke out, they retreated to Belgium. He had 36 men under his control. Only 18 got out. The other 18 were either killed or captured. And he said there was a fuel depot at Spa, Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And he said we had to keep the Germans from that fuel depot at Spa. And he said we brought up everyone and we threw everything we could at the Germans. And one thing they were doing, our tanks were out there, and they were maneuvering around the Tiger tanks, and the Tigers were maneuvering, and they ran out of fuel 5 miles from Spa.
Wow.
Said we threw everything at them. We were finally able to stop them. Mm-hmm. And Spa, Belgium, was a Roman bathhouse.
Yes.
That's the term Spa comes from. The original Spa.
Right. And more just good luck that they ran out of fuel.
Yes.
On their way to the depot.
Yes, yes. And also, they were not able to get to Antwerp.
Mm-hmm.
If they got Antwerp...
Yeah. Then the shipping lines would have been able to reinforce them.
Yes, yes, yes. Bernard Meyer lives in Denison, Texas.
Okay.
And he said when they found out they had Germans in American uniforms and all this, they stayed at the checkpoint. And the questions they asked was, who won the 1932 World Series?
Okay.
Answer,
New York Yankees. Yankees.
Then the next question... And how many games?
I don't remember. Five, I think.
It was a four-game sweep.
Okay.
Then the next question, who was the losing team?
It was the Brooklyn Dodgers, wasn't it?
Chicago Cubs.
Oh, okay.
And if you answered all three, you could go. If you didn't answer all three, they held you up until someone came in to identify you as an American or a German in an American uniform.
Wow. Okay. So you definitely had to know your baseball, which was good if you lived on the East Coast, maybe not so good if you lived west of the Mississippi.
Yes. And Dale Battles lived in Scheidler. He was 10th Armored Division. And when the Bulls broke out, they retreated to Bastogne, and he worked with the 101st at Bastogne.
Mm-hmm.
And he said they were able to hold the Germans off from the December 20th to the 27th. And he said... When the Germans attacked, they threw everything at the Germans where they attacked.
Mm-hmm.
He said the one thing the Germans didn't do was attack 2 points at one time. If they attacked at 2 points, we couldn't have held them off.
Yeah,
they only attacked 1 point. And he said, we're running out of fuel, running out of ammunition, out of food. And he said when Patton came through, he said that was our liberation day.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he said that's the coldest he'd been in his life.
And Patton was somewhere further south, wasn't he? He had to move his tanks like 200 miles or something.
Yeah. Yes. And Patton said, whenever McAuliffe said nuts, Patton said, well, a man that has an answer like that needs to be relieved.
Patton understood military strategy, understood military history probably better than anybody else.
Yes, yes. And Elaine Sokola lived in Claremore. She was an Army nurse.
Okay.
She was with the 76th Evac Hospital, went through University of Pennsylvania Nursing School,
mm-hmm.
sent to Europe, and the hospital was set up near Liège, Belgium.
Okay.
And she said, we had all these wounded there and everything, and they told us, you know, the war will end soon when the Battle of the Bulge started. She said, we had so many wounded we couldn't move. We refused to leave the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So we stayed there with the wounded, and they left an infantry company to protect the hospital, and the Germans surrounded the hospital. So they attacked us with rockets, mortars, everything. And she said, two guys brought this litter with a wounded soldier in and just dropped it. It was a wounded German soldier.
Okay.
I said, you don't drop it like that. Oh, it's a German soldier. I hit him dead in the face and said, he's a wounded human being. And she said, he was 13 years old in the Hitler Youth. They were sending boys into battle.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I was just heartbroken. So we were treating it Americans, Germans, whoever.
Yeah.
And she said, we held them off until Patton's men came and rescued us.
Wow. That's uncommon. Just uncommon.
I know. And Harold Kuhn lived in South Coffeyville. He was the 87th Division, and he was also at St. Vith. And he said... When the battle started, he said, it was just a retreat. And he said they were there to try to fight the Germans, but it was so cold, mm-hmm. most of the equipment wouldn't work. And they said, get out of here. So he saw a truck with a canvas cover on it and jumped in the back of it. It was full of American dead.
Wow.
And he looked at those, and he looked at his boots and the boots on those dead. And he jumped out of the truck, and he said, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to be a dead soldier in a truck in just a few days. He said, by the grace of God, I made it.
And that's exactly how it happened.
Yes.
We've got about a minute and a half left. You told me before we went on the air that you're still finding World War II vets to interview.
Once in a while, I find them. Mm-hmm. Just went up to Wichita.
Okay.
To interview. I went to Winfield. Mm-hmm. Went up to Joplin. And there's still one or two here that just won't be interviewed.
Well, I'm sure. We got about a minute or so left. Who can you tell me about? Anybody real quick that I thought you still had some papers there?
No. Well, okay. Let me see. No.
Okay.
This is all I have right now.
If some listeners have family members within reasonable commute distance that you could talk with them, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, my phone number is 918-914-2179.
Okay.
And they can contact me directly, or I'm at the library every day.
Mm-hmm.
Come to the library.
Okay. Sounds great. Joe, thank you so much for your interest and willingness to travel and interview these veterans. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Joe Todd with us this morning on AM 1400 K1. Again, as we review this date in history, December 16th through the 25th of January, 44 to 45, with what happened with the veterans that he talked to at the Battle of the Bulge. News on the way next.
From the ONN, I'm Sean Carey. State lawmakers are headed back to the Capitol today for another special session. Governor Fallon has given the legislature specific instructions to fund the Oklahoma Health Care Authority to avoid provider rate cuts for the current fiscal year. Law enforcement agencies